Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Morning Drive on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, Marquise Munson behind the glass, taking you through this Monday morning. Joe, how you doing, brother?
A little better because there's some NFL news. So I'll take that. I'll take the NFL news. I'll take everything the NFL can give us right now.
That's right. Munson, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
Man, yesterday, when I saw that NFL news, I think the first one I saw was Calais Campbell, and I got excited. I've never been so excited about Calais Campbell
in your entire life.
And a fifth-round pick. You've never been so giddy about a fifth-round pick.
Exactly. I'm like, ooh, this is spicy. I love it. Fifth-round pick for Calais Campbell. And then the Ryan Tannehill stuff dropped like a little bit after, and I'm just like, Sunday, let's do it. Let's go. I was excited.
I was still curled up in a ball when the selection show was supposed to happen.
Yeah,
and then if you're on Twitter, it's like right now it would be coming out. My 9-year-old daughter bawled yesterday because she realized that there will be no bracket.
Right.
One of her favorite things of
the
year.
It was real yesterday.
Yeah, but this helped. It helped to get this out there, and also it helped to find out that, you know, business is happening this week. I've seen some people out there like, don't do business. And, you know, there's all these people right now, the economy. I mean, you know, don't throw money. No, throw money around. We know you have all kinds of money. Throw the money around. Do the business. You guys don't have to be in the same room to do this stuff. Do it. So thank you, NFL. I have full approval rating for the NFL right now.
First thing I thought of with the Calais Campbell stuff was that night in Jacksonville, where he like single-handedly tried to end Marcus Mariota's career. I thought he was going to for a minute.
Man.
Had like 1,000 sacks.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that wasn't a fifth-round pick guy.
No, it wasn't.
That night. Yeah, that was actually Jameel Douglas at right guard.
Yeah.
It was before the switch to Nate Davis, but that was absolutely – they tried different stuff with him. Didn't matter. He was in the backfield all night.
He was. So when I saw him go for a fifth-round pick, I was just like, Jacksonville, good night. What are
man.
You doing, man?
I mean, this Jacksonville is the classic example of if you have a bad culture, you know, because everyone around here talks about the Titans culture, and I know people get sick of that, too. It's like it's football, it's talent, you know, go play. But Jacksonville is a great cautionary tale. If you have the wrong mix of people, how a whole bunch of talent can just go wrong. So they have that one AFC championship game run that changed a lot of things and made some decisions for them, and none of it worked, and now look at them.
Look at them indeed. We'll get into that a little bit more later. Also, some big Titans news to get to here in just a second. How did you social distance yourself this weekend? I brought out the Nintendo 64, Super Mario, Mario Kart, all these things were happening this weekend
in
the Stanley household. It was lovely.
Yeah, well, my mom's here, and so she was supposed to be here for a week of crazy activity and, you know, maybe going to some SEC tournament, but also going to my kids' games, all these games and everything, football, basketball. And so basically we all just sat around looking at each other for a few days. My wife and I did go out to a charity event at a bar in Nolensville. Catfish Jake, actually, was one of the people out there for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. So that was the last social outing probably for a while. I feel bad. We actually canceled on a birthday dinner last night, but it's just like,
it's one of those things.
Yeah, I mean, like, my mom's with me, and she's in high risk category. And it's, look, I'm trying to, let's all try to listen to the people who are saying, hey, social distancing will make a huge difference. So, man, a lot of movies.
I watched like four yesterday,
and everyone gets a choice. So, like, you know, Frozen 2 got in there, and I watched Frozen 2, and I gotta admit, I thought Frozen was pretty good. I'm assuming my daughter's not up yet to hear me say I just didn't think
the
Frozen 2 was
sometimes
that good.
It's not good.
Yeah, we're on the Marvel path now.
Okay,
so we've
that
done,
can keep you occupied for a while.
Yeah, so Iron Man 1 and 2, Thor. I went to sleep before Thor was done last night, so I have to catch up after the show.
Yeah,
But yeah, you know, a lot of stuff like that. Trying to go outside and play too. You can still go outside and play.
Yeah.
I beat my kid in 1-on-1 yesterday. I
mean, look at you, Rex Road. Yeah. You still got it.
That's right.
The game is still strong for Joe Rex Road, ladies and gentlemen. Well, Joe, I was sitting in my bed yesterday watching a movie, and all of a sudden the Ryan Tannehill news comes out. 4 years, $118 million. What a contract for the Titans. What a deal for the Titans. And the first thing I thought when I saw it was, man, thank you. It's done. Here we go. Ryan Tannehill is going to be the quarterback of the Titans moving forward. What was your reaction when you saw the deal?
Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, first of all, the selfish reaction, I'm like, oh, yes, because, you know, we're thinking about what are we going to talk about this week? What are we going to do this week? So there's stuff to do. And look, I think it's pretty darn good.
I do too.
I really do. And I know it's funny to hear kind of the out-of-market reaction versus the in-market, maybe not consensus, you know, Not majority, the unanimous.
Unanimous.
Thank you. Unanimous. Maybe not the unanimous local reaction, but I think majority is anyone who watched him week after week after week is like, what do you, at some point, is that not who he is? I think the out-of-market reaction is a lot harsher. I mean, I know for us at theathletic.com, you know, Shil Kapata, our NFL writer, one of our national writers, immediately did like analysis of it, gave it a C-. And I read it, I'm like, yeah, that's about what I expect people think of this, that it's that it's too much and that it's a small sample size and that he's average and all that stuff. And hey, we'll see. But I think the deal's pretty good. Look, the bottom line is this deal may look hefty to some, like $29.5 million, and you know, $91 million is essentially guaranteed, right, in this deal.
But he's an NFL quarterback. That's just what they're going for, man.
And it's the open market, and it will not be long. It won't be long at all before this is a bottom half of the NFL quarterback deal.
Yep.
I mean, honestly, it's true. It's going to be, I mean, by the end of this week, I think it'll be out of the top 10. It's 7 now. If you sign a free agent deal as a quarterback and you come in 7, like usually it's like, well, there's the market was set again. And market's set again. And I didn't think that was going to happen with him. But to me, getting him under $30 million a year, I understand, you know, again, it's $62 million that's fully guaranteed, but it's $91 million in guaranteed money. So basically, like, you've signed on, you know, for Tannehill for 3 years. Like, you're locked in. Look, that's always a risk, but I think this was a great move. I do. I think this was the move, and it's the move to try to build on last year and make more runs. Like, as much of a risk as it is to me, it's a bigger risk to not do this.
I agree. And look, what you and I have talked about this for weeks. We've said the whole time we think the plan is Tannehill. Obviously, we've talked a lot about Tom Brady as well. Were you at all surprised that it looks like the Titans may not have even looked in that direction?
Well, the thing about that is it's tough, though, Robbie, because, you know, this is where, you know, real honest conversations that could be considered tampering probably happened.
Yes.
You know, so I don't necessarily buy that the Titans didn't look in that direction. And look, this will be, you know, of course, there'll some people will say, well, they wanted him, but Brady didn't want them. So you just said, well, I guess we'll have to take our Tannehill. And yeah, I mean, there's never going to be Tom Brady, Mike Vrabel, those guys, never going to tell us what all they discussed.
Right.
But I don't buy for a minute that John Robinson and Mike Vrabel didn't sit there, I'm sure, many, many times and talk about, are we sure that Tom Brady right now doesn't give us a better chance? You know, I have no doubt that everything, you know, you turn over every rock. Brady's an obvious one. I'm sure at some point it's like, what about Teddy Bridgewater?
Yeah.
We sure? Are we sure Tannehill? I mean, you go through all those things. So, I to me, it just would be crazy to – it's crazy. Two things are crazy. One is saying, like, oh, I'd rather have Ryan Tannehill than Tom Brady. But I think it's at this moment in time, that's exactly right. And the other one is looking at what he did, what Tannehill did with the players around him in this system week after week after week, and then saying, yeah, you know, we'll try something else. I mean, this wasn't just like an okay run. This was one of the top couple offenses in the NFL once he got it going. So there's a huge difference. And again, the people who either wanted to or were forced to watch every snap of Tannehill with the Titans, mm-hmm. and the people who didn't, who were just like, oh, well, good numbers again for Tannehill. Gosh, I mean, that guy's so average. Yeah, what's that about? Smoke and mirrors.
Let's be honest. A lot of people didn't watch Ryan Tannehill play for the Titans until the playoffs. And in the playoffs, the two wins, he threw for under 100 yards. I mean, he's right around 100 yards passing, and that's what they're basing this off of. Yeah. How could you give Ryan Tannehill a contract when we watched those playoff games? It was all Derrick Henry. And that's where this national media conversation is coming from. There's a stigma that he has from Miami and his time there. It didn't work. And they don't watch the Titans games in the regular season. I get it. That's just, the Titans are not one of these sexy big market teams in the NFL. So if you're the first time you're the national media really paying attention to the Titans is the playoff games last year, yeah, I could probably understand why you'd be hesitant about this contract at that point.
Yeah, even though he didn't play poorly.
No.
He just didn't. Yeah,
from a numbers perspective.
Yeah, he didn't do a ton. I mean, he had one bad pick at New England, and really he played well at Baltimore. But yeah, I mean look, Derrick Henry dominated those games. There's no doubt about it. And that's the thing. I mean, the Titans signed up, and you could criticize this too. It's like, so you're paying basically 30 a year the next 3 years for a team that's built around a running back, you know? But
yeah.
But that's the thing. I mean, just because you're not going to ask him to throw it 40 times a game doesn't mean he's still not the most important player on the field. He is. But yes, that's a good point, Robbie. It's very much the playoffs and like, he didn't do much. And look, he couldn't keep pace with Patrick Mahomes mm-hmm. in the AFC title game. Now,
who can?
I don't know. But, again, the Titans have signed up for him to give them that chance in the next few years. And I just – to me, it's – honestly, I think there are tougher decisions than this one ahead.
Oh, I agree. And you mentioned Tannehill's contract and how pretty soon it may be in, like, the bottom half of the league in terms of quarterback contracts. It's not going to be that much longer before Patrick Mahomes' new deal gets done. And when that happens, I mean, he's going to make – $40-something million dollars a year. I mean, it's going to be incredible how much money Patrick Mahomes is going to make in his next contract.
I mean, Dak Prescott's trying to get 40.
He's probably
going to get tagged today, too, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
But yeah, I mean, quarterbacks making 40 is about to be a reality. So if you get someone who's on, you know, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent and you get him for under 30, who by the way, was, you know, the top-rated quarterback, number four quarterback rating in history, 9.5 or 9.6 per attempt, all that stuff. I think you've done pretty well.
I think so, too. Look, I saw that yesterday, and it feels good, I think, to talk about the Titans and know that the quarterback position, for now, is solidified. Because it's been a while since I think Titans fans have really felt that way. I mean, what was last year about? This the discussion point last year. Marcus Mariota, can he stay healthy? Is he the guy? What's the backup plan? I think a year ago yesterday was when they brought in Ryan Tannehill. So it's kind of crazy to think about how far the team and that position specifically has come in a calendar year for them.
Yeah, it's amazing to think of Tannehill.
Yeah,
a year ago, you know, fourth round pick, and hey, that's a good backup, better backup than you've had, Titans. And yeah, when is the last time they felt this solid, you know, assured about the quarterback position? You could say maybe like early in Mariota's career, like in 2016, his second year,
yeah.
It was like, okay, this guy's going to be the guy for a long time. But you know, now you got a guy for the next, you know, who signed for the next 4 years who you have no question about who is leading this team.
When we come back, what do we make of this deal? Did the Titans give Tannehill too much? How is this deal going to look for them 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road? Also, take your phone calls and your thoughts on the Tannehill contract, 615-737-1025. We'll take your calls and your text messages, 615-737-1025. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 1025, The Game. The Titans have their guy, Ryan Tannehill, locked up for the next 4 years, $118 million on the contract, right around $91 million. million dollars guaranteed. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic. And Joe, what a day it was yesterday, and that kind of sets the bar for the Titans in terms of how they approach this week to get the quarterback position locked up and out of the way. Now you can shift your attention to Derrick Henry and the other free agent decisions that John Robinson has to make. I thought it was really important for the Titans to know, and we've talked about this a lot, the last thing you could have happen if you're the Titans is to chase down this Brady rabbit hole, leave Tannehill behind, and then not get either one of them. And we both expected that not to happen. We expected John Robinson to be able to navigate these waters in a way where you're going to end up with one of the two of them. But it's nice to, if you're John Robinson and the Titans, to have that security now with that position taken care of.
Yeah, and apparently Ryan Tannehill was not offended by not having Vrabel and Robinson, you know, dump praise all over him in Indianapolis. So, yeah, that was the one thing that couldn't happen, of course, was to be sitting there trying to find someone else in this. The quarterback thing's about to get fun and crazy, although I'm going to stick with, I think you've believed the same thing, you know, Brady, just go back to New England. But, man, I still have thoughts of, like, Brady in Tampa throwing a Mike Evans,
yeah,
you know, or something like that, or Brady in Vegas. But the Titans, I just think this was the most sensible decision all along. It's not guaranteed to do anything for you. They may not sniff another AFC title game with Ryan Tannehill, but I don't know how you don't run it back given how he performed and how everything worked with him at quarterback.
Ryan in Nashville texts in and says, told everyone when the season ended that Tannehill was the guy moving forward, not Brady. Brady will be going to the Las Vegas Raiders. How about that?
Okay. I mean, I'm in for that. Although I would even be more upset about the way things turned out on the last day of the regular season because the Titans were lined up for a trip to Vegas.
Yes, they were.
And then that got taken away. Hey. We're not sure that the NFL season isn't going to get interrupted right now either, although I still think no, but I've heard people who believe it might be. But Brady in Vegas would be a lot of fun. It also just doesn't seem to make sense to me because what are they going to go next year, 8-8? Like, that's not how Brady wants to go out.
No.
He doesn't care about being in Vegas. He's going to be somewhere he thinks he can get to another Super Bowl.
Well, The reason the Titans were such a popular topic of conversation surrounding Brady, yeah, the Vrabel thing and John Robinson, the relationship he's got with those two guys, specifically Vrabel, that was a huge part of it. But also, when you looked at the team, it made sense. I mean, there's talent on the Titans roster. You've got young weapons like A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, maybe the best running back in the league in terms of weapons that you have. You start looking around other places, like Las Vegas, like the Chargers. There are some warts there that make a little bit less sense. So that's why I think it's way more likely now than it was, and I thought it was pretty likely to begin with, that he ends up back in New England.
Yeah, I mean, well, of the possible teams, the Titans had performed the best, of course, in the postseason, got the AFC title game. I do think Tampa, like I could see a quarterback looking at Tampa and saying, oh,
yeah,
I won't go throw 30 picks. Put me in that offense.
That's a pretty safe bet.
You know, and all of a sudden, you know, how much does that team win? You know, I could see that. So there's some intrigue still, but maybe this has all just been Bill and Tom just sort of playing their little games. I now want to know again. I want to go back, and I want to know, what did they say in the FaceTime?
Yeah.
What did Vrabel say to Julian Edelman and Tom Brady in the FaceTime? You know, sorry, like we already know we're signing Tannehill. Enjoy UNC.
Hope you guys are really having fun courtside over there.
Say hi to Jimmy Fallon.
That's right. Say hi to Jimmy G, too. The San Francisco conversation is still creeping up, which I just don't understand. Like, I just, that one to me has never made sense. But it's still there. People are still, I was listening this morning, they were talking about it. Heading into about Brady going to San Francisco.
Am I wrong that there was something? Was there something about San Francisco being out on Brady reported yesterday, or did I see that wrong?
I think you're right. I think I did see that, and now they're still talking about it anyway.
I mean,
this is the point we've reached.
That, you know, I mean, the thing is, you could look at the Titans and I guess say the same thing. You know, the Titans were close. They opted to go with their guy who got them close. I guess, like, to me, if you were comparing the Titans and 49ers, I would say the 49ers are closer.
Yeah.
To winning it all. Like, they have their roster is
ridiculous.
Complete. They have one of the best defensive lines I've ever seen in the NFL. And, you know, they've got some skill guys on offense who are probably overachieving, you know, relative to their profiles. But, yeah, they've got a very, very good roster. So I could see the whole thing, like, if we can just get a QB that, like, we don't have to worry about hiding in a game like that. I mean, obviously, you know, Tom Brady's going to step up or has stepped up, you know, to make big plays in big games. But, yeah, the long term, that's a very short term fix versus, you know, I think Garoppolo's pretty good, and that team could make a lot of runs in the years to come.
They could. I mean, the other piece of news yesterday that came out was, you know, the NFLPA agreeing to terms on the new CBA, and it was close. Let me tell you, I think the votes that were counted were 1,019 votes for, 959 against. So you're talking about a 60-vote separation there. I think a 51.5% versus 48.5%. So a really close vote, but that takes one of your options away from the Titans if you're, you know, talking about, you know, the franchise tag, the transition tag. That's even more, I think, fortunate for the Titans that you don't have to go down that road with your quarterback now. And that way, if you have to choose one of those tags, either a franchise tag, probably the most likely scenario, maybe Derrick Henry, you end up having to do that. I still doubt it, but maybe that's the route that you have to go. But now you only have one of those at your disposal, and you don't have to use it on Ryan Tannehill, which is good. I thought, you know, a lot of people in that conversation has creeped up lately about maybe using a franchise tag on Ryan Tannehill. Now with the longer-term deal, that frees you up, where if you have to, you don't want to, but if you have to, you can use that later on this week.
Yeah, well, the tag deadline, we're going to find out. We're going to
find out today.
The tag deadline is 11:59:59 Eastern. So you know, 10:59:59,
baby.
Yep, Central.
Get it in
so
there.
Within an hour after this show ends, we will know on the tag. And I'm very up in the air on whether that tag might be applied to Derrick Henry. I totally get it if it is. I also totally get the arguments, you know, for avoiding that. And I think that, you know, the tag, if you can get a Henry deal done that can work for both sides and then tag Jack Conklin,
yep,
then I really think – I think that would be, to me, the best case scenario in terms of you lock up your backfield, which, golly, you want to lock that up. You got half of it locked up. And then – then you're not disrupting, excuse me, the offensive line from last year and the way it finished the year, the way it played at the end. And, you know, Jack Conklin with a really resurgent season after, you know, the knee really messed up his year before. So, I mean, I really still think that the tag to Conklin is a possibility here.
Yeah, I mean, it very well could be. And that's, look, we've talked about it. How important it is to keep that line together. Even more important, probably, if Brady's coming in because of the lack of mobility that you've talked about, Joe. But now that you have Tannehill there as well, I still think it's important to do. But he, at least, you know, at that point that if things do break down in the pocket, he's got enough athleticism to try to make some plays. I mean, after Tannehill signed yesterday, the Titans tweeted out like this top 10 play Ryan Tannehill highlight video. There's a lot of him just running around making things happen at that point.
Yeah, no, he's a lot. I mean, honestly, I didn't know. I thought I knew about Ryan Tannehill.
Me too.
I found out a lot last year about his skill set. And you know, here's the thing. If you want to talk about risk with Tannehill, I still think that the injury thing is the biggest risk here, even though it wasn't a thing last year. But he blew his left knee. He tried to go without surgery. Then he did it again right before 2017. Missed the whole year. 2018, a shoulder was a problem. I think he only played 11 games that year. So, you know, that's still, you know, is he going to be healthy?
Yeah.
And now who are you backing him up with, too? I mean, when you look at this roster and all the different things that you got to do, there's going to be some shortfalls, and probably that's one of them.
Give me some Logan Woodside, baby.
It might just be. So Tannehill's health, a risk, and it's at a massive premium now moving forward.
When we come back, what does the Ryan Tannehill deal mean for Derrick Henry and Jack Conklin this week? We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network breaking down the Ryan Tannehill contract yesterday and what that could also mean for Derrick Henry as the Titans move forward here. Welcome back into Morning Drive. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic. 615-737-1025 if you've got thoughts on the Ryan Tannehill contract. We'll take your calls. We'll take your text messages at 615-737-1025. So, Joe, John Robinson has gotten the most important position in the NFL locked up for the foreseeable future. Now the attention and the discussion goes to what may be their most important individual player in Derrick Henry. And you heard Ian Rappaport in that segment there talk about how the tag deadline is today at 10:59 Central Standard Time, 11:59 Eastern Time. How do you approach this if you're John Robinson? Because I think in a perfect world, both sides would like to see a longer term deal get done. 2 to 3 years is what you're talking about in terms of long term deals with a running back. But you also, if you're John Robinson, there's probably a number and a length of a contract that's there and that's out there that you're not willing to go to, and you're running out of time to make that decision.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to have to do a 4-year deal if you do a long-term deal, and that's no one's going to be comfortable with that.
Yeah.
With a running back, but that's on the other side of the table, you want some kind of security. It's not like other positions. Like Logan Ryan went into free agency and he said, "I'm going to do a 3-year deal." And I'm going to get another crack at it. And he may, here's his next crack at it. And that's fine for a cornerback. But a running back, by the time Derrick Henry's done with whatever this deal is, he's going to be viewed as over the hill. Even he might be a Frank Gore special.
Yeah.
There are guys like that. But for the most part, it's a very short-term position in this league. And obviously, there's a bunch of recent deals that don't look good. Obviously Todd Gurley, huge deal that right now looks bad because all of a sudden he's not healthy. David Johnson, Arizona, mm-hmm. is a bad one. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott did not have the monster year last year, that you would have hoped if you were the Cowboys.
Right. Still productive, but
still
not
pretty good.
Great.
Yeah, still good. Very good. Le'Veon Bell, of course, is another guy who, of course, Le'Veon Bell got essentially what Derrick Henry might get here and said no. And I'm gonna get to the point where I can be an actual free agent. And he did, and he got paid, and right now, I mean, he played for a bad team last year, but he was not the same, all around great player that he was for several years in Pittsburgh. So there's a lot of right now examples that is scaring everybody off on making a long-term deal with a running back, and I'd get that. But to me, if I'm John Robinson, I'm doing everything I can to make it a long-term deal because the team's built around him. You can't take all these recent examples and say, well, that's what's going to happen here. Yeah. You have to look at it for what it is on its own. And I don't think Derrick Henry will be happy at all if he's tagged. And I don't know how unhappy, Does it mean a holdout? Does it mean, does it mean that there's like a loss of trust between Henry and management? I know this. If you tag him, I saw a number, and it was lower than I thought, but, I thought the number would be 12-something. I saw a number that I have to confirm this, more in the tens. And so if you tag him, and then he's going to even make less in this year, then he's probably seeking for a long-term deal. Man, that's going to be an unhappy guy.
Yeah, and that's how fractured relationships start to form in the pro sports world. There, no question about it. And look, at the end of the day, if you're John Robinson, your job is to do what's best in the short term and the long term for your football team. I think we would both agree that both in the short and long term, we have enough trust in Derrick Henry and just the identity this offense plays with that I think it's worth the investment. And you talk about getting Ryan Tannehill in here. Sure, he came in, he was great. He deserves a lot of credit for what he did. But hand in hand with that, Derrick Henry was a monster in the second half of the season and turned into probably the best running back in the league during that time. That goes hand in hand with why the offense was so successful and why it was as good as it was coming down the stretch there. So, look, I'm not trying to take anything away from Ryan Tannehill. He came in and did a great job. But Derrick Henry was a huge part of that, too. It's not like Derrick Henry was still running. He wasn't gaining, 200 yards a game with Marcus Mariota in there. I mean, and there were a lot of factors that went into that. The offensive line struggled in the first part of the year. You know, I do think Ryan Tannehill's ability to throw the ball deep kept defenses honest, and they had to make sure that they were accounting for that, and maybe that opened up some more room for Henry as well. But I say all of that to say those two, I think, work really well together in tandem, and because of that, if you're John Robinson, you've got to do everything you can do to keep that together as long as you can.
Yeah, and look, the problem here, and I understand why people would look at this, is it's a very recent amount of information, even with just with Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about a season and four games in which he has looked like one thing after two seasons and 12 games of looking like another thing. But look, I don't know what the number is when you finally say, okay, that's what he is. But I know I'm there with him. I mean, the guy was special last year, and the guy really dominated two playoff games last year. And it's a puzzle. And so what is the number that you can get this done with, and do you have to tag him? And again, it also, like, if you're John Robinson, you got this deadline coming today, and so you're trying to figure that out. But then, of course, you also have, so you're trying to negotiate, but then you're also trying to figure out Conklin, too.
Yeah.
And this is where, the CBA passing this weekend, obviously, when it was still the old CBA, in the last year of a CBA, you're allowed to use both tags. So, you could have potentially used both here with both these guys. Obviously, you're down to one now. Man, it's going to be so interesting today. I will not be surprised if the tag is applied to Derrick Henry. I think it's way better for him, and I think it's potentially a lot better for the Titans if they can do this and do a deal that he can be happy with.
Let's go to Corey, who wants to weigh in on the Titans. Corey, go ahead. Thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys. I was just kind of wondering to myself, as far as the strategy of the negotiation and using the tag, is it something that they would go to Derrick Henry and say, look, we got a tag. We don't necessarily want to use it on you, but we got to keep you, and make that as a bargaining chip? And then do you think it's easier to justify using the tag on Conklin, since Derrick Henry has had more sustained success in the last year plus, going back to the season before, end of the season before last, where Conklin, the offensive line wasn't, very good beginning of last year. He was injured, stuff like that. Do you think those things kind of come into play at all?
Hey, thanks for the call, Corey.
Yeah, it's a great question. And yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you can tag someone and keep working on a long-term deal. So, and if it got to that, certainly. I mean, there'd be a lot of discussions about, look, man, we want you long-term. We're going to do this. We're going to keep working on this and try to make it as as amicable as you possibly could. I mean, here's the thing. So, this is how the NFL is right now. But the bottom line is, I mean, Derrick Henry, to me, is the focal point of this offense. You could say the focal point of this team.
Yeah.
And Jack Conklin's going to make more money than him next year.
Yeah.
That's just how it, that's the NFL. But, I mean, Conklin is the top offensive lineman on the market. So, if Conklin goes open market, he's going to get paid a lot of money. And so that's where, like, to me, I just wonder if, tagging him, which I think, and I'd have to look this up, but I think you'd probably be, around 14-ish a year. Again, it's the average of the top five,
right,
at the position. Something like that would be it would be easier to sell maybe to everybody, maybe not Conklin, but I think to a lot of people than selling, tagging Henry and restricting what he's going to make this year.
Let's go to Ed, who has called in wanting to weigh in on the Titans. Ed, go ahead. Thanks for calling in to ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, good morning, guys. Appreciate it. I know one of you mentioned, I think it might have been Joe, that you're basing, as far as the contract for Henry, roughly X amount of games, right? where he really performed at a high level. I'm not sure why you want to do that, but why wouldn't you do that with Tannehill? I mean, are you basing, outside of what he did for the Titans, are you looking at anything that he did for the Dolphins? If you guys can compare the two there.
Hey, thanks, Ed. No, you're right, Ed. I mean, it's with both of these guys. Like, you're basically like, let's give all the money to these two dudes who just recently were awesome.
Right.
But, look, I just how could you really base much on the Dolphins? I mean, first of all, I promise you that before the Titans even gave a fourth-round pick to the Dolphins and said, hey, will you pay five of the $7 million he's making this year, that they – looked at every – I bet you they looked at, like, darn near every snap that he took for the Dolphins and explored. I mean, just talking to John Robinson about, you know, evaluating players, you know, rookies, incoming rookies, free agents, all that stuff, I mean, you know, no surprise. But they do their homework. So they know what he was, and certainly they thought it was good enough to bring him in as a backup, which I think no one had a problem with 1 year ago. I think yesterday was the one-year anniversary.
It was.
But, like, right now, how do you go back and say, but, well, let's go back and look at some Dolphins. I don't know about that guy. Look at that, you know? I mean, Arthur Smith made this point at some point late in the season or maybe even in the playoffs. Like, you don't know what exactly a team's asking a guy to do. You don't know exactly all the little things about their system and all that stuff. And I think the question, I think I was asking him about, like, just his involvement in bringing in Tannehill. So he's like, there's limitations even on what that means to you. I mean, you're kind of taking a leap of faith in any of this stuff. Of course, you see them, and you can see their skill set and everything, but you still don't know exactly everything. When they come to you, it's just different. And so, I mean, they've seen him for a full year. First of all, not a full year, but 13 games, okay? And week after week after week, what he did, how he took the practice field to the game, how he took the film room to the game, all that stuff, more than just the numbers that are really good. I mean, I think the contract speaks for itself. They're sold. They are sold.
Well, I think the flip side of that is with Derrick Henry specifically, you know, we were having a discussion this time last year. Okay, he had a really good last four games of the season. Is that what he is, or is he more of the guy we've seen throughout his career? And I know from myself, this past season watching him play, I think that's just what he is now. I mean, he is whatever happened, whatever switch that got flipped, whether it was talking to Eddie George or whatever Derrick Henry did, he looks like a completely different person and a completely different running back now. And I think there's a long enough sample size with him, too, where you're much more comfortable if you're the Titans, I think, in saying, well, this is what he is. And I think Derrick Henry's side would use that, too, in their negotiations. Like, yeah, we're pretty comfortable saying this is what we are, too, now.
And the Titans will say, yeah, but on third down, we still.
Third down. And then bring another running back.
And the Henry side will say, well, put me in on third down.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's try that. You know, but, yeah, he has figured out, I'm going to punish everyone. And I'm going to, as a result, be less punished. I think that's a big thing. I'm going to stop running to the sideline. I'm going to seek contact. And look, it's week after week again with both of these guys. I mean, it'd be great if you had 3 years of the exact same consistency from both and say, hey, it's an easy one. You don't have that. I think the amount of information you have, to me, though, is pretty clear.
I think so, too. When we come back, over the weekend, the Titans lost one of the central figures in the history of their franchise. We will talk about that next and what maybe the future holds for Delanie Walker. That's coming up next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic, taking you through this Monday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And Joe, a really tough part of the business happened this past weekend. The Titans cut Delanie Walker. And obviously, it's one of those decisions that if you're a general manager, like, the on-field part of it right now, I think, is pretty easy. Like, it's a pretty simple part. I mean, Delanie Walker's been hurt the last 2 years, has basically been a non-factor for your team, and has reached the age right now where it's probably realistic to think he's not going to be a factor again. But that's when you get into the kind of tougher part of it, especially when you're talking about some of these guys who, I mean, when you're thinking about the entire history of the Titans franchise, and I'm talking about specifically since they've been in Nashville, I mean, he's a top five guy, maybe in the history of their entire franchise, in Delanie Walker, that's when these decisions can be tough. After he's given you, you know, the best years of his career, and let's be honest, there were not only games, but probably entire seasons that Delanie Walker played where he was like literally the only reason to come watch the team. I mean, it was bad, and he played some really good football and some really bad teams here for the Titans, but just a tough part of the business that I think we all knew was coming over the weekend, but it kind of gets you thinking about, you know, everything Delanie Walker has provided to this Titans team. Certainly, I think, on the Mount Rushmore of Titans when you think about their time specifically in Nashville.
Yeah, that's a good question. Where would he rank? And, of course, you're talking the Titans era,
right,
for Delanie Walker. But I think one of the best free agent signings, you could probably
– I think the best.
Yeah, and you could make that the whole franchise history probably when you talk about free agent signings. Yeah. I mean, you talk about like a terrible 2015 team, 94 catches, 1,088 yards for a tight end, 6 touchdowns. And he had a couple, you know, outstanding years under Mike Mularkey, who, of course, was his tight ends coach before that. You know, 65,800, 74,807, 10 touchdowns between those two seasons. And, look, he was going to be a central part of that offense in 2018. There's no doubt about that. Yep. Mike Vrabel's first year. And he had the awful fractured fibula in the opener against the Dolphins, and it just, you know, it last year you could just see he wasn't the same. And I thought this was the thing is I thought this was of those various moves, I thought this was kind of a sure thing.
Yeah.
You know, but you're right, it probably seems like the toughest by far, just from the emotional standpoint. The tough thing for Delanie Walker, and certainly I'm not gonna like shed tears for, you know, someone who's had a great career, who's you know, made the money he's made and all that stuff. But it's tough when you're him and you have been here through a lot of lean years and helped turn this franchise around. If they do build from here and go on runs, you don't get that reward from a team perspective. But, you know, he's 35 years old. He's had a heck of a run. It's an amazing run, really, too, when you think about undrafted guy who was just sort of a, you know, a depth guy in San Francisco who starts to emerge, and then you bring him in here and he's just a star.
Yeah. I mean, it really has been incredible to watch what Delanie Walker has done in his career. And now the natural question is, okay, he's obviously no longer going to be with the Titans. Is he done? Is there another year left for Delanie Walker out there somewhere? If you were to answer that question right now in terms of the immediate future for Delanie Walker, what would your answer be?
You know, it comes down to me, it's just how much does he want to go through all this stuff for a massive reduction? Because that's what you're talking about. You know, I mean, it seems to me like he certainly loves football. You talk about a guy who you'd still put him just about first off the bus right now, physically. You know, guy stays in tremendous shape. He's a monster. Does he want to start over somewhere else and play this game and, you know, put himself in more physical harm at his age for, you know, a lot less money? I don't know. That's a good question. There'd be a place for him somewhere if he does. The price, you know, you're going to find the right price in the market, and then, you know, he can play. I won't be surprised if he hangs it up altogether at all. That'd be my guess right now.
Got a text in on the text line that says, after the cuts, how much do the Titans have left to spend? How much of Tannehill's contract is taken out of the total? Also says he thinks they'll give Henry 4 years at $50 million with $26 million guaranteed and tag Jack Conklin at $14.25. So the Titans are going to run out of money to spend very quickly, no matter which way this breaks down. But
yeah, by the way, I was wrong in Delanie Walker too. 6th-round pick, my bad. I said undrafted, 6th-round pick. Well, first of all, I think that if I'm not mistaken, the Tannehill cap hit is 22 and change this year.
Yes.
So that's the cap hit when you talk about the salary cap. And they just saved, we can come up with this number quickly, what all they just cut. I mean, so they cut Cam Wake. They cut Deion Lewis.
Delanie Walker.
They cut Delanie Walker.
By the way, are you blocked on Twitter by Deion Lewis?
They cut Ryan Succop. Yes. I responded to you on Twitter when you tweeted, like, well, I had no idea I was blocked by Deion Lewis. I'm like, okay, well, let me check. And you better believe it, I'm blocked. So,
you know, I thought it was an exclusive club. I'm kind of figuring out that it's less and less exclusive by the day. Apparently, that's just a thing he does.
Like, did he just sit there and just, you know, try to, like did he – is this like a gradual thing where, like, oh, this guy said this about me, blocked this guy? Or did he go through one day and say, I'm going to find all the Nashville media members I hate and block them all?
I think he's a name searcher. That's what it boils down. Like, that's a lot of effort just to sit there and find.
He just searches his own name.
He just searches his own name.
Yeah.
And he probably said or saw me saying something to the effect of, hey, it must be nice to be Deion Lewis stealing money from the Titans, which is essentially what he did during his entire tenure with the Titans, and maybe he just didn't like that. I get it. It's cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it was. And frankly, he was really petty in his last year, too, just not wanting to talk and stuff like that. I mean, just, you know.
That's why I couldn't believe when Vrabel, he started talking about, like, Deion Lewis being a leader in the locker room. I was like, well, God, I hope not. Because if he is, this team is in trouble from a leadership standpoint.
Well, I will say this, and this is where you got to – someone who hates or is mean to or whatever, like reporters, I don't care about that. Disqualify them from being good, you know, with the team. And I think one thing that they appreciated about him was he kept working. You know, he took his opportunity when he got him, and he did what he could. He was not effective. I mean, this is the easiest of all their moves is to cut him because they overpaid him massively last year for what he gave them. So, you know, I mean, I could still see a guy like that being a leader, but also, like, how are you really a team leader if you're that much of a secondary player? I also think it's hard, you know, it's really hard to be a leader and talk to guys about this or that if you're
How are you going to get into somebody's grill about something and they're just like, dude, you know how much money you're getting paid to do essentially nothing every game? Get out of here.
Yeah. There's not much getting in grills either, though, too.
There's not.
That's an old way of thinking, which I'll always think that way. But, like, you know, who on this team is doing that or on any team? It's a lot less than it was a few years ago. These kids these days, Robbie.
These kids these days. It's gone soft in the NFL, Joe. Too soft. It is a tough loss. Delanie Walker, we wish him the best. I know dealing with him, he has been awesome to deal with for years.
He's a pro.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a bit, and he's been great around here. You know, I mean, like, look, there's a responsibility if you're a professional athlete to do as much as you can in the community. That's what you should do. So, like, anybody who talks about what they do, okay, that's what you should be doing. Delanie Walker goes above and beyond that.
He absolutely does. So, rooting for him, no matter where he goes, whether this is the last stop, whether there's another stop left before he hangs it up and calls it a career. Delanie Walker, one of the good ones, and certainly I think no question, the best free agent signing in the history of the Titans, bar none. So wish him the best as he moves forward. When we come back, Corey Curtis from News 2 will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Ryan Tannehill contract. Also ask, what does this mean for their interest in Tom Brady? Do we think it was there? Do we think they explored it? How heavily did they explore it? That'll be next. This is Morning Drive. Live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.